is on the back of your bulletin,
and it's from Hebrews 11, 8 through 12. Let me read. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, and as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in numbers, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore.
ヘブル人への手紙11章8節から12節を日本語でお読みします。信仰によってアブラハムは相続財産として受け取るべき地に出て行けとの召しを受けたとき、これに従いどこに行くのかを知らないで出て行きました。信仰によって彼は約束された地に他国人のようにして住み、同じ約束を共に相続するイサクやヤコブと共に天幕生活をしました。彼は固い基礎の上に建てられた都を待ち望んでいたからです。その都を設計し建設されたのは神です。信仰によってサラもすでにその年を過ぎた身であるのに、子を宿す力を与えられました。彼女は約束してくださった方を真実な方と考えたからです。そこで一人の、しかも死んだも同様のアブラハムから、天の星のように、また海辺の数えきれない砂のように数多い子孫が生まれたのです。
Good morning again. Normally we would go straight into the message, but today, if it's okay, I think as a church we'd like to pray for Sandy. Sandy's been going through chemo therapy, radiation therapy. She's just really not feeling good right now. So is it okay if we just pray for her right now?
Yes.
If you have a rubber, you could just lay our hands on Sandy. Father, we thank you so much for Sandy. We just pray, Lord, as a church, that you would bring comfort.
Yes.
Father, we pray just for her white blood cells. We pray for her immune system. We just even pray, Father, for just her body to produce serotonin, and we pray for your peace, Lord, your supernatural peace to come upon
her. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Let's just continue to keep Sandy in her prayers, and after service, we'd love to pray for you some more, Sandy. I am very happy you're here. You know, I think a lot of times people, when they're not feeling well, and it's understandable, I do this too, we just want to stay at home, right? But what better place to be in the presence of God if you're not feeling well? And so thank you for your sacrifice being here. May the Lord bless it. And we'll continue to pray with you.
By the way, it was her birthday not too long ago, last week, so wish her a happy birthday. Gifts and cards are better than facts. No, just kidding. happy Father's Day again. Today's message is the faith of the Father's faith. The Father of faith. We're looking at Abraham's story, and we're continuing our studies in the book of Hebrews, and this is for all you coffee lovers. This is your book. The chapter starts out by saying, what faith is, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we're going to take a look a little bit closer of what faith is. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now let's read in verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So we're in Abraham now. Prior to Abraham, in this chapter called the Hall of Faith, we saw a couple of other characters. We saw Abel, we saw Enoch, we saw Noah. Now, I didn't say too much about those three characters. I said a little bit about Abel, but not Noah and Enoch. And you know, their faith walk, in my opinion, is a little bit different than ours. Both Enoch, Noah, and Abel, they lived in a time before the flood, and the relationship with God before the flood, I believe, was a little bit different than what you and I go through. And that's why when it comes to Abraham, he is considered the father of faith. Because starting from Abraham, I believe that the way you and I experience faith and experience God is very similar to the way Abraham experienced God. And so that's why he is called, considered the father of faith. That's just my opinion. Now, the reason, not just my thoughts, but the reason why Abraham is the father of faith is because the covenant God made with Abraham, and all of us who has faith in God comes under that same covenant that God made with Abraham. But again, the second reason I think that he is the father of faith is because his life is like a template for our lives. And so if you ever want to see what faith really is in the real life, it's a good idea, I believe, to look and consider Abraham's life. And Abraham's life you could find in Genesis. It starts from chapter 12, I believe. And his life is a journey of walking and trusting in God. And the book of Hebrews sort of highlights that, and we're going to look at that a little bit today. There's three things that's going on in this opening statement. One, Abraham is called. Two, there's an obedience. And three, there's an active surrendering. This opening statement, it says, Abraham was, there's a calling on Abraham's life. If you look in Genesis 12, Abraham is called out of his home, Ur of the Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan. There was a calling on Abraham's life. And anyone who is or eventually will follow God, anyone will have a calling from God. The reason why, if you're a Christian, the reason why you are a Christian is because God called you and you responded to that calling. You cannot be a Christian unless God called you first. You are not born a Christian. Even if you're raised in a church, the day you become actually Christian, born again Christian, is when God calls and you respond to his calling. When you begin to follow him, that is the birth of a person's faith. And Abraham had that in his life. Abraham was, I believe, somewhere maybe in his, I should have looked this up, I'm going to say off the top of my head, in his 80s when he was called. He might have been called earlier. But he was called. He lived with his father in a land where there was idol worshiping. And God said to Abraham, I want you and your wife to leave here and go to Canaan, the promised land. Now, some of you may have had a similar experience as Abraham had, but just don't have the language to explain what happened. But I'm just going to repeat this again. Anyone who believes in God was at one point called by him. If you're a Christian, it's because God called you. Now, it might not have been an audible voice. It might not have been an altar call. It might not have been at a big rally or anything like that. It's just God simply called you, usually in the still inner voice, and you responded. And if you have not had that experience, you could ask for it. You could say, Lord, would you come into my life? In fact, you know, that's a simple prayer. If you've never felt like God called you, that's a simple prayer you could do. Lord, if you're real, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. That is oftentimes a prayer that God honors. Lord, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And he will reveal himself in his own way to you. Now, there was a calling on Abraham's life, and with every calling, Abraham obeyed that calling. For some of us, this is when we ask Jesus in our life. That obedience to the calling is when we ask Jesus in our lives. When it comes to faith, what faith is, and when it comes to pleasing God with faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. A necessary ingredient to that faith is obedience. You can't say, I believe in God, and have zero obedience in your life. If you believe in God, the byproduct is obedience. And that is a key necessary ingredient to faith that unlocks the power and promises that is contained in that faith. Obedience. God calls you, and usually it's a calling of one thing or another. In Abraham's case, it was a calling to go and leave your father's land and into a land that you know not. And he simply obeyed. He obeyed. He left everything. He took his nephew Lot with him, but he left everything and obeyed the call. Now some of you, I feel like some of you, God has called you to certain things. Yes, no? Yes, 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 no? I believe God has a calling for, and it could be just as simple as, I want you to do this every day. Do X every day. Or I want you to be faithful to doing Y. Maybe not even every day, just be faithful to doing Y. What am I doing math up here? X, Y, Z. See, the thing is, there's like this. No, just kidding. But it's a obedience is so important. You could say all you people do this all you want. I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. But there's nothing that shows that. And I could be mean about it, but I'm not going to be mean about it. But you know, sometimes. People say, yes, I believe in God, and all they have is just, well, someone whispers something. All they have is what they think religion is. Does that make sense? For example, just going to church every Sunday. That's nothing bad. That's great. I hope all of you go to church every Sunday. But if that's all they have, because that's how they grew up, that is not the faith that's being spoken of here. Now you could go all the way to the other crazy end where people are blowing things up and saying it's because of faith. You know, God told me to do this. Okay, that's not faith either. Right. So, you know, there's the two extremes of very religious people They're both very religious. It's just coming out in a very, manifesting in a very wrong way. In a wrong way. Here, Abraham is called. There is an obedience. And the good thing about Scripture is that it will give you the parameters of what God's calling is and what it isn't. Anyways, Abraham went out. Faith is. Now, if you go back to Hebrews, the first verse, now faith is. Faith is always active. Faith is active. It is certainly being, but in that being, there is certainly a doing. Whether it is actively, and this is probably the first step of faith, it is actively surrendering. Faith is actively surrendering. Because when God calls you and you obey to that call, a lot of times we want to do it on our own strength. Whatever that may be. For Abraham, it was, go to Canaan, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And Abraham tried to do that on his own strength at one point. At one point, Abraham tried to do that on his own strength. He took a wife from his Sarah's handmaid, Hagar, and they had a child named Ishmael. And Abraham wanted so much for God to fulfill his promises through Ishmael, but God said, no. Abraham, you did that on your own strength. So a lot of times, there's faith, there's calling, there's the obedience, and then there's the surrendering. How it's going to happen. I'm going to make you a great pastor. Praise God. And a lot of us that has that call in our lives, you know, we just my own journey. I won't talk about Tom's journey, but just my own journey. You know, we go to seminars, we go to conferences, we read all the books we could read, we get prayed for by all the people we could get prayed for. And I think that's a great, you know, process of that. But in that process, I learned, you know what? I need to surrender. I just need to let go. It doesn't matter how many commentaries I read. It doesn't matter how many books, podcasts, YouTube, whatever. You just have to let God do it. If God said He's going to do it, you know, there's a necessary process you go through. But in the end, it's God that's going to do it. And that's for your life too. Whatever that may be. And we see in Abraham's life, that is not an easy process. And a lot of times, it's not easy because that process is so dang long. It's not in 1 year, 2, 3, 4, 5, 15. He's like, God, did you forget? Didn't you say this was going to happen? That's going to happen? I don't even have one child of my own. How am I going to be a father of many nations? God, I'm in my 90s. Sarah's getting old. I mean, I don't even, you know, Abraham probably didn't want to say that. It's like Sarah's getting older, you know. Is there a nice way of saying old? Was it
aging?
Yeah, you know. She's maturing, you know. She's maturing. That's the hardest part, though. A lot of times, the hardest part is waiting and surrendering. The more you surrender, I believe, the faster the process gets. If there's any kind of shortcut in this process, it's by surrendering. Try to do it, you know, we try to do it on our own. We try to do it how we envision it to be. And we try to do it so that we get the glory. But if you could let go of the glory, let go of your own perfectionist ways, trust in God. So I have to say, you cannot be a control freak and a person of faith at the same time. Once you become a control freak, you kind of let go of faith. And then you're humbled, and then you have faith again. And it's so weird, because usually when we're defeated in sin, God is like, now I could work with you. What? When we're defeated in sin, at our lowest point, where we feel like garbage and trash, God says, now I could work with you. But when we're all self-righteous, oh God, you know, look at me. I haven't sinned in a couple of hours. You know, I'm so strong and powerful. Man of righteousness, walking with you. And God is like, I can't really work with you right now. Because your head is so dang big that if I do anything through you, you're going to think it's because you did it. There's an active surrendering in faith. By faith, let's move on. It says, by faith, he went to live in the land of promise, that's Canaan, which will eventually be Jerusalem, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundation, whose designer and builder is God. What a beautiful poetic way of saying things. Abraham didn't know where he was going, and didn't know how he would eventually be a father of many nations. He didn't know a lot of things. He just knew God called him. That's all he knew. And God will make it happen. This belief in God, that God called him, that God will make it happen, and this belief, this faith in God, led him to leave everything. The land he knew, the house he grew up in, the friends and family he loved, all of that he left to a foreign land to live in tents among strangers. Now, I don't know if there's anyone here that ever actually had to do that. You know, there are some people, refugees, stuff like that, that literally had to do that kind of thing. I don't know if there's anyone in here, but I can't imagine how hard that must be. I can't even imagine how hard that must be. You know, I go to LA for a weekend and I have this suitcase full of stuff, and, you know, I have friends there, and it's still kind of hard for me to just leave, even if it's just to LA, another state. You know, what's going to happen to my dog Winnie and all this other thing. Just, and my wife is there too. Abraham was told, hey, don't ever go, you're never going to be back, say your goodbyes, and go to this place where you know nothing of. That takes a lot of faith, and also, I believe, that takes a lot of surrender, and surrender oftentimes equals sacrifice. Sacrifice. This isn't just sacrifice for the sake of sacrificing. It's more of a sacrifice, if you will, an investment type of sacrifice. It's not just an investment, but it is a sacrifice for the hope that in this sacrifice there will be something greater. It might sound selfish, but you know, that's what sacrifice is. For the hopes of something better. You sacrifice your time watching television to go to the gym in the hope of being healthier. You sacrifice not eating that extra slice of pie. For me, it's the extra slice of pizza or that extra piece of chicken for the hopes of losing some weight. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of working. I don't know, my body doesn't seem to appreciate the sacrifice I'm making. You know, sometimes it doesn't. But God always sees every surrender, every sacrifice you make. He sees it. Let me tell you, a lot of times I will miss your sacrifices. I will. And you're going to be like, oh, that pastor is so unappreciative. Sorry, I'm trying to be more appreciative. But God will never miss any of your sacrifices you make. And when you sacrifice to God through faith, as we saw in Abel's life, there is something supernatural that happens. A release, a powerful release in your own life. Whenever you make a sacrifice, one is for the future, yes. But a true sacrifice, I believe when God sees it and accepts it, there is something supernatural that happens that I can't explain, but that you know that God received it. Many of us were afraid sometimes to make sacrifices because oftentimes we've made sacrifices in the wrong places and there was no return on those sacrifices. Anyone ever do that before? You make an investment in the wrong place and, you know, it bit you in the butt? Happens all the time. And I think that's why sometimes we're afraid to step out and make the sacrifice that God requires. But every time you make that sacrifice, you surrender and sacrifice to God, He is a God that will recompense you 100-fold. You will never regret a sacrifice you made to God. You will never regret it. The price or sacrifice in comparison to the promise is like a seed in comparison to the tree. And that tree will always grow whenever you sacrifice in God's kingdom. It is an investment well worth making. Some of us, we've sacrificed so much for God and we haven't seen anything yet. Let me just tell you. God is not a God that will rip you off. He will not rip you off. You may not see it today, but He will not rip you off, period. We see that in Abraham's life, because Abraham, he made a lot of sacrifices. In the first year, he didn't see anything. In the 10th year, he didn't see anything. Until he was 100, he saw one thing, maybe two, an Ishmael and finally an Isaac. After all those years of a promise of being a father of many nations, and he has two? Two? Father of many nations, you're gonna need at least seven. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe 12, and by this time my 12 has some kids, and by that time maybe the kids are old enough to have some kids. Abraham probably at 100 was thinking, you know, the first year I'll have maybe three kids. Second year I'll have maybe doubles, twins. By the time I'm 90, I'll probably have like 10 kids. And the time I'm 100, those kids are probably going to start having kids. You know, 100, 20, 25, 30, maybe I have 30 kids. 30 kids by, you know, in his mind, he's just, you know, dreaming with God. Have you ever dreamt with God, you know? By now, this church will probably be like 100 members, 250 members, I don't know, you know. Start dreaming with God. God says, I'm going to do something in your life. And you're like, oh yeah, this is going to happen. Abraham had two kids. And one was illegitimate. But it was amazing. It says, and moving on, it says, Sarah, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. So this was after Sarah was like, okay, it's done. We just heard wrong. Sarah was like, we just heard wrong. Even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had the promise, she conceived. The price that you pay in response to faith isn't just an investment towards the future, which it is, but it's not just that. It has supernatural powers attached to them. when you're dealing with God who is supernatural, you're going to get supernatural results. When you're dealing with a supernatural person, you're going to get supernatural results if you let him do his part of the job. If you want human results, then just go about it in the human way. But if you want God involved and if you want supernatural results, you got to let the supernatural part do it. We see that clearly in Sarah's life. Sarah, who one, she was barren, but she believed. And on top of being barren, she was now in her 90s. But being barren in her 90s, by faith, there was a power that was released in her, and through her womb, she bore a child, Isaac, who means laughter. And he was named Laughter because it was ridiculous how God did it. It was so dang ridiculous. Are you kidding me, God? That's why he was named Laughter. Because both Abraham and Sarah laughed at the prospect of being a father and a mother at that age. But if you want to see the power of God work through your own life, you know, first of all, faith needs to be present. But you got to let God do it. But I think the opposite is true. The lack of faith can quench the power of God in your life. And there was so much room in Abraham and Sarah's life for that lack of faith, because they waited so long and saw zero results. They waited over 15 years and saw nothing happen. Heck, I think they would have even been okay with sort of, you know, I'm not going to say it. They would have been okay with a lot of things, but nothing happened. But the release of power of faith requires obedience, requires sacrifice, requires surrender. Surrender. It's a thing, you know, who teaches surrender? We were living in America. We don't surrender. We go forward. You know, we conquer. We're more than conquerors. It is true. We are more than conquerors. But we surrender to God. We surrender to God. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Both Abraham and Sarah, there's a power in agreement and faith. They both had faith. They walked in that agreement, and they walked together through their belief, obedience. They bore a son, a child, Isaac, the child of the promise. And if we look at all those who can trace their genealogy back to Abraham today, they would be numerous, too numerous to count. So God, who is the builder and architect of this city that and this family tree that was promised to Abraham, God is the one who is the builder. He is the one who is the foundation, designer, and builder of this city. And because he's the one that is both builder, designer, architect of this city, he is looking from his perspective, from an eternal perspective. See, Abraham, when he got the call from an eternal supernatural being, he was just simply thinking in his limited life, earthly life. I don't know, maybe I'll live to 100, 120, 130, maybe 150. Not that much longer. You know, I don't have that much time. Abraham was saying, I don't have a lot of time to make this happen, God. And God is saying, exactly, you're not making it happen. I'm making it happen. And so in his earthly lifetime, he didn't have that many kids. In fact, there was only one that really mattered. It was Isaac. He had other kids after Isaac. And he had one before Isaac. But none of those really mattered. The only one that mattered was Isaac. But through Isaac, there was Jacob. And through Jacob, there's all these other kids. Yeah. And then through all these other kids, there was all these other kids. And then it just kept going and going. And Abraham was long dead. Okay? On earth. But let me tell you, Abraham is not dead. He is alive and well, better than us today, in heaven. And he's up there with God the Father. And God the Father has his hand over Abraham and said, "Happy Father's Day, Abraham." And it's saying, "Abraham, look, there's another 100,000 kids born to your name today. All could trace their lineage back to him. And say, didn't I tell you I was going to make you a father of many nations?" And Abraham is in heaven saying, "I never knew this. When you told me I was going to be a father of many nations, I thought you were going to do it in my earthly lifetime. But I never knew all of these children being born since that first day you promised, and since I had Isaac, that all of these would attribute their genealogy back to me. There are so many people today that are proud to be tied to Abraham's name." Right, Julie? I mean, it's important. It's important for a lot of, you know, millions of people that they trace their genealogy back to Abraham. Even today, that one's yours, that one's yours, that one's yours. And actually, not only for the Jewish people, but every born-again Christian is tied back to Abraham. So whenever anyone comes and is baptized, or when they ask Jesus into their lives, God is saying, "Abraham, that one's yours too. That one's yours too. That one's yours too." And so when God made the promise, "Abraham, go from this place. I'm going to make you a father of many nations." And Abraham says, "Okay." This is thousands of years ago now. Abraham did not have the grit to understand how God would fulfill that promise. And when he fulfilled that promise, far greater than Abraham could have ever imagined. And so when God calls you, and God called you to be a great teacher of the word, or God called you to be so-and-so and such, you may be looking at it from an earthly perspective. But when you put your faith in God, and when you put your sacrifices in God's hand, what is going to make of that will be for all of eternity. Past your years here on earth, past your measly years here on earth, whatever, however long you live, and it will last for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, God is going to say, "Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you?" To the point where you can say, "Okay, you can stop now, God. That's enough." No, he's going to say, "No, I told you so. Didn't I tell you?" God's promises goes far beyond this world and this lifetime. If you hear his voice, do not delay in obeying, and do not worry what the cost is. The price you pay and the promise that you'll gain, it will far exceed the price you'll ever have to pay. Let us pray. The promise is always far better than what we could think or imagine. God's promise is far greater than what we could think or imagine. Our faithfulness here today, our sacrifice and surrender here today, God sees, and he will bless. He will recompense. Father, we thank you so much that you would call us. Most of us who are not special in any sort of way, you call us ordinary people to be part of your extraordinary kingdom. You call us to a city that has foundation and whose designer and builder is you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you called us to your kingdom, to your holy city. Father, today, even now, if there is anyone who has not said yes to the calling on their lives by you, I pray, Father, that they will say yes today. Lord, I pray that as we walk out of these doors, that we would have eternity in perspective. So that, Lord, any sacrifice, any surrender, we will know will be well worth it, Lord. For you are such a good, good Father. It's who you are. It is who you are. And that we are loved by you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.